Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back. Sabres are in Edmonton tomorrow afternoon. Pre-game coverage begins at 3:30. The Amerks are on the road in Providence tonight. Devin Levi is back, and he gets the start there as Rochester tries to jump back into first in the division. They're 1 point behind Laval and Cleveland at the moment. Shayna Goldman is with us here from The Athletic, her regular Friday time slot, and hopefully with a wrinkle. Like, I need you to throw a new team, a new name into the mix here based on events that have unfolded in the last 7 days. There are some interesting team results and some, you know, some poor individual performances happening across the board. What is top of mind for you right now, Shayna?
So many options. Well, you know what? I'm going to throw a curveball at you guys. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, okay.
With the Vancouver Canucks implosion in mind.
Yes.
Which is astonishing, every facet of it. What if Utah makes a playoff run because management starts buying at the deadline after they get Sergachev and Durzi back from injury?
What is the likelihood of that?
Who's to say? New ownership, new vibe. It seems like I mean,
are you letting us in on some insider info here that you've heard that this could be the thing?
You're like me. You want to wheel it into existence. Like,
I mean, they have one, three
in a row.
John
Gibson to Pittsburgh into existence because I think they would need him.
Well, should John Gibson go somewhere?
Yes. Yes.
Where?
Yes, I'm done. I am done with the saga.
He's played well enough this year that he should. He should have convinced somebody, if they really need it, he should be on the market, right?
Yes. I don't think he makes sense for a team like, I don't know, say the Devils, where it's like, you have an injury and here's a replacement because it's a multi-year deal. That's a one-off kind of guy. Mm-hmm. But the team that still stands out to me has to be the Hurricanes. I'm not thrilled with their goalie picture. I could see them making a little bit of sense for the teams that are in that, you know, playoff vicinity or just outside of it. Like, you look at all of them, and in the East, I go, Carolina is the one that the goaltending, I don't even want to say the least sure, because Florida, I'm least sure, but they have too many commitments to consider this. But the Canes are the one that I feel like have that openness on the books for a goaltender, and I feel like it's one area I'd like to see them shore up. It's not my number one priority, but it's like, it's definitely in the mix.
Okay, you mentioned Vancouver, and you're talking about the East and teams that are in the mix and whatnot. So I'm going to go to the Rangers, because they were linked to the Vancouver Canucks with JT Miller, and Ryan Lindgren was potentially link in those conversation as well. Is Ryan Lindgren on the market right now? And wouldn't teams, I know he's had some injuries in the past, but man, he's 26 and plays a hard game. Wouldn't teams want to line up for a guy like Ryan Lindgren?
I think right-handed defensemen are going to get the higher valuation than the lefties. So I wonder if that factors into it at all. Because we see at the deadline, like, very middling, you know, right-handed defensemen go for first-round picks. I wonder if they feel that that might not be an option. But if I'm the Rangers, I would definitely consider moving on from Lindgren, because I think there's a couple things at play here. The fact that he's a UFA at the end of the year is priority number one, right? And I don't think the Rangers see that long-term future with him. They opted against extending him long-term last summer and went for that one-year deal, and for good reason, right? One, his game has declined, and two, the injuries are a legitimate problem. And I think that the two are really linked here, because we don't know how much his game has declined because of the playing style he plays. We know those kinds of defensemen don't always age as well. There's a lot of wear and tear. Guys like Chernak are in and out of the lineup. Dane Girardi had a shorter career than I think he probably anticipated because of it. The other part of it is the Ranger system doesn't agree with him, and I don't think you need to build a roster to fit a coach if that coach is not the long-term option, and I still am not sold that Laviolette is. So I don't think you need to completely revamp the blue line at this point. You should have done at the beginning of his tenure. But, you know, that all three zone play doesn't agree with him. So I could see why the Rangers would go. It's just not a long-term fit.
But do you think they're less likely to make a deal now that they've figured it out and are 7-0-3 in the last 10?
That is going to be the big question. But it really depends on what the Rangers think that their true trajectory is at this point, because I think you have to take the entire season in stride and not be too swayed one way or another. It's very easy to drink the Kool-Aid right now. It's very exciting. But I just think that they need to think big picture. You can get into the playoffs. Yes. Can you go on a real run? And I know with a goalie like Igor Shesterkin, especially the way he's playing lately, you can generally go on a run. But is it going to be enough to match or exceed what they did last year? Is it going to be enough to match up to, say, the best in the Atlantic? Like, I'm not so sure. So I do wonder if they think of the big picture the entire time and maybe say they like someone like Will Borgen, keep him, and then move on from Lindgren. So you're a little bit more proactive with your approach this year.
When are you guys coming up with your list at the Athletic? Because everybody seems to be coming up with their list now. Are we going to see like a Shayna Goldman, list with your crew over there when it comes to the potential trade targets before the deadline?
I know that they have the trade boards up, and I am taking the trade board, and I'm going to be spinning out, you know, the trade destination pieces very soon. But I think the thing I'm going to focus on is some of the guys who are having down years. And maybe guys like a Brock Nelson, his scoring is down. Should they be worried and go deeper into that before hitting the destinations? Same with someone like Yanni Gourde. And also kind of look at the guys like Mikael Granlund, right? Like, he was a regression candidate. He did not regress. But will he do worse if he goes to a contender like what happened in Pittsburgh? If he's not in the top six and has less support around him, like, will that totally kill him? So That's going to be my take on it. I leave the insidery stuff to the insiders, and I'm just here to talk around it.
Brady Tkachuk. Do you think his name, much to the chagrin of anyone in the upper management of Ottawa, do you think his name will get back in the cycle? Inexplicably, he has gone pointless in the last nine. The Senators have been shut out four times in that stretch. Miraculously, they have more wins than losses. They're 5-3-1 in that time. But something has gone amiss here for Ottawa. Do you think, if they're on the outside, that his name will get back in the cycle, right or wrong?
I think mentioning his name right now might be soft tampering. Like, that's a whopper of an accusation to make. I really don't. I think that it's a different front office. It's a different vibe. This is not the Pierre Dorion era, so I would say no right now. But I do find it interesting every single time this team takes a step forward and things are on the rails, they just slide right back. It's unbelievable. Every good streak. I remember earlier this season, I wrote something about the three up-and-coming Atlantic teams, the Sabres, the Red Wings, the Senators, and how we were waiting to see their next moves and finally turn the corner. And a lot of Senators fans were upset with me because they're like, look, this team is finally playing well. You should have written this a week ago. And then what happened? They stopped scoring goals, and it was great. Linus Ullmark was doing his thing. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why. I know linear is not a progression is not linear. It's not a straight line, but I mean, it zigzags way too much for this team.
Okay, well, I found the trade board, the Chris Johnson trade board on the Athletic. So a name that jumps out at me, he's down lower, like 27th on the board, but it's Justin Brazeau of the Boston Bruins. I've always liked the physicality that he brings, the size that he brings. He's a good skater. Why would the Bruins be interested in trading Brazeau at this time when they're in a playoff spot or fighting for a playoff spot? I think there'd be a lot of teams, like maybe even the Sabres, that could call and inquire on a Brazeau.
Why would they do it? Because Boston management does many things they should not do. why would anyone high up let the current management run the deadline would be my bigger question, because I think you're going to do so much damage that the next general manager is going to have an even bigger task at hand. I do think they're a team that should be considering a quick reset, right? In similar vein to the Capitals in 2023, without necessarily taking that extra year in between that they did, which they had their reasons for, like move some pieces out of the deadline, reset, refresh, use those assets to do something in the summer and see where you can go around. They have that elite core, right? You have McAvoy, Pasternak, Swayman. You have pieces at all three positions. Brazeau would not be the player I'm moving out of. I'm Boston, I would be thinking of the weights on the salary cap, the weights on the books. That would be first and foremost my priority. I would not be trying to strip away at any of their depth scoring. I would be trying to bolster their play down the middle. I have questions about the Bruins. Serious questions.
The Capitals are still number one in the NHL. What might they look to add at the deadline?
That's a good question, because it's such an active offseason that you have to wonder how much more does this team want to change? I would imagine we see moves like contract extensions for Logan Thompson, first and foremost, and then you kind of go from there.
Chychrun?
He's a very interesting one. I don't know how quickly they go to do it because I feel like they found a way to maximize his game, but I don't know how much of a raise any team is going to be willing to give him from his last contract, and rightfully so, because the consistency year to year is not there. The injury history is a little bit scary for a lot of teams, and he has to be played in a very particular role in a very particular way to thrive, and I know the Capitals have found that, but I wonder if that's the answer for them moving forward a little bit more. But, I mean, I feel like a depth defenseman, a depth forward, like little small moves is probably the way to go if you're Washington. I don't think they need to make some giant splash and spend a lot. They've been very good at targeting players that they're buying low on and then just finding a way to plug them into their system and help maximize their game. Like, that should be the theme moving forward some more.
Maybe, like, away from the trade talk, but, I mean, the Columbus Blue Jackets are one of those teams that they score a ton. They seem to be on the upright. We remember when the Sabres were kind of that team 2 years ago that the vibes were great. Like, the vibe check, Shayna. You're always good with the vibe check. Adam Fantilli lately has been one that's on the way up. He was drafted third behind Connor Bedard and Leo Carlson. I think those two are going to get big money when their contract expires. They can sign an extension this summer. Where do you see Fantilli and his kind of place with those top-end guys, especially those that got drafted in 2023, I believe that was?
He has such a high ceiling, and it's really nice to see him hitting his stride at the NHL level and playing at this high level consistently. Obviously, it helps that he's getting support from two really good line mates, right? That Columbus Blue Jackets top line was absolutely thriving when Sean Monahan was playing down the middle, and they've been able to just, you know, swap Fantilli in and keep it going. But what's so impressive to me is his playing transition and just the speed in which he skates with. And the perfect example was last night against Carolina. I think it was Columbus's fifth goal of the game. I might be mistaken. But it was a Werenski shot that got tipped in front. But it started with Fantilli just racing up the ice, right up the wing. I could not believe how fast he was getting, to the point where I got a text from someone going, did you speed that clip up? Like, nope, that is the real deal. That is his speed. I was so blown away by it that I was hoping it turned into something, because I knew I was clipping it anyway. Like, please have a goal attached to it or a really great scoring chance, or no one's going to care about this, because I'm so impressed by him. And I'm impressed by him in the big moments too, because I think that game against Toronto, besides the fact that it's the center of the universe, that's a game where his family is there and you're going up against one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. And I think he showed a lot of poise to score in all situations there, to have a shorthanded goal, to have two at even strength. I think we're seeing that he truly has what it takes to be a top six center in this league. So I'm very excited about that moving forward.
It would have been a remarkable win for the Jackets on the road last night, playing in the back-to-back, having defeated Toronto the way they did. Unfortunately for them, they are 0-7 in the second of back-to-backs this year. Minnesota got healthier but looked worse last night. Utah was able to win. The Wild have lost 4 of 5. We all know their cap constraints, etc. They've been pretty uneven. Now, granted, Kaprizov missed the majority of this uneven time for them. What do you think the Wild do at the deadline?
It's going to be interesting, because this is not the year, I think, to go big and spend as well as they've done. I would just say keep positioning yourself to make moves next summer. Don't necessarily take yourself out of the race, because the West is, you know, is pretty solid, right? There's only one spot truly up for grabs in the Western Conference. So I want to see if they make any savvy moves that, like, help them now and in the future with that kind of mindset. And I think we saw that already once this year with their acquisitions. I'm like, okay, like, there's definitely the potential for it. But last night was really concerning. It's interesting because I don't think they're generating enough offense on the road. And the goaltending has been a little bit suspect. As good as Gustafson was to open the season, like, I think he's trailed off a bit the last couple games as well.
It's flower power time. Let's go. Marc-Andre Fleury. Make it happen. Maybe his swan song. Maybe he retires after that. Who knows?
Lock him in 3 years when he's still gone. Shayna, thank
exactly.
you so much for joining us. Enjoy the tennis, the hockey, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for having me.
Shayna Goldman from The Athletic will wrap up another week of Sabres Live after this.